1 gallon jug is just $9.99. That's a $3 savings, and that'll keep your car running through the cold like a white wolf through a blizzard. Peak 50-50 antifreeze, just $9.99. That's full throttle savings. Only at
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
Cars.com has all the tools you need for stress-free shopping, so you can get the right car without all the drama. Cars.com. All drive, no drama.
There you go. And get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. He on the peon and Dan Strauss here with me, as always. Hi, guys.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Frank is not off on assignment today. He is just too upset about being told that he's out of the running for Pope.
Oh.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, we got the word this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Normally he'd be here this afternoon doing the show, but he's just too shaken up. And
I knew he threw his great big tall hat into the ring.
Yeah. By the way, I was looking on Facebook this morning. The Pope has updated his status to "It's complicated."
Oh.
Sure it is.
We have a lot of stuff to get to on the show today. I mentioned a few weeks ago that my brother is a big shot in the federal government. He is now currently serving as the acting Secretary of Labor for the United States.
Yes. Very cool.
Very, very, you know, very impressive. And I said that as one of the perks of being in that job temporarily. When they finally vet and appoint and confirm a new Secretary of Labor, he'll go back to his job as the number two in that department. He's not going to get the job full-time because he made the mistake of not being born a minority woman.
Hmm.
That's who they'll probably end up hiring for that job.
Well, they can change. People change now.
If he had been born, good.
It's borned.
Believe it or not, I'm the broadcaster in the family.
The woman part you can change. I don't know about the minority.
If he had been able to be born a disabled gay minority woman, boom, you're
yes.
in.
Oh,
they actually would give you two different cabinet positions if you could cover all of those things. But when they do find somebody for the job, he'll go back to being the number two person in that department, the Deputy Secretary of Labor. But now that he's acting Secretary of Labor, he got to go to the State of the Union address on Tuesday night, right there on the well of Congress as a member of the cabinet.
That's pretty cool.
And got to see him on C-SPAN and all the network coverage. And I called him and I said, would you come on the show and talk about that experience? Not the politics of the speech, but what it's like as a rookie to go there. Because I'll tell you, I'm not in politics. But if they told me I was going to go, I would love to be in there just to have that experience. It's one of those unique experiences in America.
Sure.
And so I wouldn't know what the protocol was. He didn't know what the protocol was.
This was his first, obviously.
Yes, he's a complete rookie at this.
Wow, that's cool.
So he's going to join us in about 15 minutes or so and tell the story of what it's like to be at the State of the Union address. Also on the show today, we've got my friend Phil Plate, who is an astronomer, who is going to explain to us, A, about this asteroid that came within, what, like 20,000 miles of the Earth?
Yeah.
Just like 2 hours ago, it passed by us.
That's pretty close.
And meanwhile, last night in the middle of the night in Russia, this meteor came in. The video of this is astounding. It came in at 33 miles an hour, streaked across the sky, landed in Russia like 900 miles east of Moscow.
You said 33 miles an hour.
33,000.
Oh, 1,000.
Oh.
33,000 miles an hour. Sorry.
It must have been in a school zone when it got
close. Yeah. Yeah, because normally the speed would be 70,000 miles an hour. So it caused a sonic boom, and glass windows burst out everywhere. There were like 1,000 people hurt by glass. A factory roof collapsed from the explosion of this thing entering the atmosphere. And if you've seen the video, you can understand the Russian people who were anywhere near where this thing came in completely freaking out, looking up in the sky. You see something streaking across the sky.
Big fireball.
It's on fire.
Yes.
And it's coming to Earth, and you don't know, A, where, what it is, B, where it's coming from, or C, what you're supposed to do.
Are a few of them that probably, they probably knew about this asteroid that was coming close to Earth. They probably said, I thought they said it wasn't going to hit us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not supposed to be here for 14 hours, yeah, whatever it is. But what do you do if you are an Earthling in the 21st century when something like that happens? First thing you do, get your phone out of your pocket, get video.
Yes.
That's right.
And all over YouTube today, there are more than a dozen fantastic videos of this thing uploaded by people in Russia. And some of them look to me like they weren't done handheld, but were done by dash cameras. Do the Russians have cameras mounted on their dashboards for reason?
Yeah, dash cams are huge in Russia.
Why?
Yes. Because of accidents.
Yes, it's because of accidents. And I saw an article today at the traffic cops over there are very corrupt. So they'll show up on a scene unless you have video evidence. They'll just try to get money out of you to say who wants to pay more to have their side be the one that gets, you know, judged in favor later. So that's one. They have a lot of pedestrians that will jump in front of cars.
Oh, really? They do
for
the
insurance claims.
The insurance
flop. Oh, yeah. And plus, they're just bad drivers. There's a lot of bad drivers in Russia.
Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah. I don't know what the percentage is, but I would guess like half of the cars in Russia have dash cams.
Half of them.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot.
What have you seen those montages of all those Russian traffic accidents?
I haven't, no.
Oh, yeah. No, well, they're out there.
What do you think is the percentage of civilians in America with a dashboard camera?
Oh, I would guess 5% or less.
I would think 1% or less.
Yeah.
I mean, 1% would be 3 million
people
here.
They're so inexpensive nowadays. It can be reset every time you restart your car, you know, with a little memory card. You could pop in and out every day to download the video.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
why would I want that here? I mean, if we had the same problems you just mentioned,
right?
You know, the corrupt cops and the insurance floppers and all that sort of stuff. I could see. All right, well, I better get one of those just for my own safety and for my own financial security,
right?
Because somebody sues me, you know, I want to be able to have video evidence. Why else would an American want one of those on their car?
I don't know. I don't know if we have the problems that they do.
I remember that kid a couple of years ago, maybe more than a couple, maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. I can't remember his name, but he videotaped his encounter with a cop.
Oh, yeah. In his car, he just had the camera
going.
He was
driving around with a camera that he had mounted on a tripod inside his car because he knew he was going to have encounters with cops because he had had them before.
Right.
And turned into a whole big deal. I wish I could remember the kid's name. I actually had him on the show talking about it. But in Russia, thank goodness they do it because we have this amazing footage of the meteor hitting Earth last night. So Phil Plait, my friend who writes the astronomy column, the bad astronomy column for Slate Online, is going to join us later on to talk about that. Plus, we'll, of course, have the Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads in the News and Joe Hipperson on movies. Joe may actually burst into the studio at hyperspeed himself today. He's probably running at 33,000 miles an hour because the new Die Hard movie.
That's right.
And Dawn reviewed it yesterday, and she did not like it.
Oh, no.
I went to see it at a screening on Tuesday night, and I will tell you
we'll
about
save
it
your,
a little bit later when Joe gets here. We may have to have a debate.
Uh-oh.
I'm guessing
you went along with Dawn.
I'm not going to tip my hand here other than to say we may have to have a debate when Joe gets here. So we'll have that plus Mike Evans plus Bill Hipperson. So it's a very busy day.
Bill Hipperson?
Bill Clevelin.
Bill Clevelin.
Wow. Joe Hipperson.
Wow, what time am I supposed to be here today? You know what it is? I'm nervous about having my brother on.
The comet was going 33 miles per hour.
I actually had to make a mental note to myself, don't destroy your brother's political career today during the interview. Don't ask the wrong thing. Don't divulge the wrong information. Don't do something stupid.
He's a younger brother, right?
He's 4 years younger than I am.
Oh, that's got to be tough to bite your tongue.
Are you implying that as the older brother, I would tend to purposely want to screw up my brother's career?
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where that was probably true. But
you're past that.
He's gotten these big, important jobs.
Treat him special.
Well, let's just say he has his own security.
Your brother does?
He's a member of the United States cabinet.
Oh, yeah. Who's on the phone?
He can make a couple calls and make older brother's life.
I don't think he has to make a couple of calls. I think there are people with him 24/7 in the room. There's probably... You know, some black ops people who park outside on the street in his car in one of those vans that says police with a Z. municipal utilities says that. But they're probably sitting outside his house at all times.
Who's trying to get in? All who? No. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I would not be allowed in the building there. I'm nowhere near it. But he will join us, and I'll tell you what, because I want to make sure we have plenty of time to do that, let's break now.
Can I say something real quick? Yes. I just wanted to say thank you to Helfner's Base.
You can't say that unless you pronounce it right.
Helfner's. No, you can't.
Oh,
boy.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me. It's right on the box.
Helfner's.
Helfner's Bakery Pastries on Graham Road in Florissant for sending over these, cream horns.
Mm-hmm.
They're awesome. So thank you.
See, now again.
Payola.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty illegal, and here we are. We're about to have an official of the United States federal government joining us on the show.
Don't tell them.
You know what? We'll edit that part out of the show, because I'm pretty sure we're not allowed to do that. 325. Back with my brother, the government big shot, who had his rookie night at the State of the Union address this week, right after this on the Big 550 KTRS.
Nemchek on the right side, comes middle of the floor, knocked away by Bell, taken by Bell. Into the front court, to the rim, lays it up and in.
Tomorrow, Coach Frank Haith and the Missouri Tigers journey to Fayetteville, Arkansas to take on the University of Arkansas Razorbacks. Coverage begins at 2 with Jason Lamar in the pregame show, and the tip-off is at 3 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Bang!
We are our Mizzou.
Cabin fever, definition, irritability, listlessness, resulting in long confinement or isolation indoors during the winter. Cabin fever, the cure. Fast Eddie's Bon Air.
Hey, it's Eddie from Fast Eddie's Bon Air. I know the winter can be tough. The walls are closing in. Family's driving you nuts. You need a big old break. When you need to come on over to Fast Eddie's Bon Air, where cabin fever doesn't stand a chance. We still have the cheapest eats like the Fat Eddie Burger, my world-famous peel-and-eat shrimp, the Big Elwood on a stick, the mouth-watering chick on a stick. We do have the cure for cabin fever. There's no place you'd rather be. You'd rather be at home with the walls closing in? Duh, you'd rather be at Fast Eddie's. And if you do like being outside during the winter, we have the huge heated patio with tons of flat screen TVs. We got 5 nights a week live music featuring the best bands in town. I'm telling you, it's an outdoor party right in the middle of winter. As long as you're 21 and in the mood, come on over to Fast Eddie's Bon Air, the cure for cabin fever. For more info, go to fasteddiesbonair.com.
Glamour magazine calls BB cream one of the 10 beauty products every woman should own. But here's a little secret. All BB creams are not created equal. If you're a woman between 30 and 60, Hydroxytone's BB cream is one of the most powerful anti-aging BB creams on the market. We don't just hide your wrinkles, we actually fight them. And to prove it, during the next 24 hours, we're letting as many people as possible try it. So call immediately to be one of them. 1-800-616-4026. Hydroxytone anti-aging BB cream is the skin-perfecting, beauty-protecting, all-in-one wonder that looks like makeup but acts like skincare. From a leader in anti-aging, it doesn't just make you look 10 years younger, it also gives you a flawlessly gorgeous complexion. So looking younger has never been more beautiful. Now you can try it if you're one of the first callers right now. Hydroxytone anti-aging BB cream is now available at Ulta stores, but for this special radio offer, call 1-800-616-4026. 1-800-616-4026.
If
If you stop by the wine selection of any supermarket, it can look like a bewildering display of red wines, white wines, sweet wines, dry wines, Moscatos, Rieslings, all kinds of different wine choices. Don't you wish you can taste them to decide which is your wine? You can at the 27th Annual Missouri Wine Fest, Saturday, February 16th from noon till 5 at Westport Plaza's Indoor Pavilion. At Wine Fest, you'll sample wines from premier local wineries while enjoying live entertainment by the Super Jam Acoustic Duo, with all proceeds benefiting the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Food options are also available. General admission is $20 in advance, $25 at the door. VIP tables are also being offered. And for fun, there'll be carriage rides from 4 till 7 p.m. For tickets to the 27th Annual Missouri Wine Fest, call the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society at 314-590-2230. That's 314-590-2230. For more information about the Missouri Wine Fest or other events at Westport Plaza, go to westportstl.com.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to change the station, because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it's faster than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to change the station now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. is available to settle your debt, too. You may reduce your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-944-3778. That's 1-800-944-3778. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-944-3778. 1-800-944-3778. 1-800-944-3778.
With the Ace Bag Sale this Saturday, getting 20% off almost everything you can fit into a bag takes planning. Say you spot some light bulbs. You might not want to put those in the bag first, especially if you add a gallon of paint, which is also 20% off, like the duct tape, which will help if the bag tears when you add a second gallon of paint, which will make the whole bag 20% off and very heavy. At Ace, the helpful place. Discount is off regular priced in-stock merchandise that fits inside one bag at one time. Good at participating stores. February 16th only. Limit one bag and offer per customer. Other conditions apply. See store for details.
Is it leaking? Hi, St. Louis. This is the roofer for Lane House Construction. Are you leaking energy from your windows, or maybe your siding needs replaced? Please remember, Lane House Construction is your local source for roofing, siding, windows, and gutters. Call today for your free estimate. 866-546-ROOF.
You may have heard me mention over the last few months that my brother is the Deputy Secretary of Labor of the United States. And after Inauguration Day, the woman who was the Secretary of Labor, Hilda Solis, stepped down from that job. It's not an unusual thing. There are always lots of resignations when a president is beginning their second term. And so there's no official Secretary of Labor, because they don't have anybody to replace her yet. Somebody has to be vetted and then appointed and then confirmed by the Senate. In the meantime, somebody has to be the Secretary of Labor. And because my brother was number two in that position, effectively as the chief operating officer of the Labor Department, he has stepped up and moved into the big office, and he is the acting Secretary of Labor. One of the cool things about that job is not just getting the big office and getting to go around and have people call you Mr. Secretary, but also that on Tuesday night, he got to go to the State of the Union address. And I don't mean sitting up in the gallery in the corner next to the Boy Scouts or the invited guests or even near Mrs. Obama. No, he was down there on the floor of the United States Congress in this joint session when President Obama addressed the nation. Now, that's an experience that you and I are never going to have. And up until, oh, I don't know, a month ago, he probably thought he would never have it either. But now he has, and I thought, let's hear that first-person story. So here's my brother, Seth, joining us this afternoon. Do I have to say hello, Mr. Secretary, to my own brother?
I would prefer that you do that. Yes, you should call me Mr. Secretary. I'm also making Mom call me Mr. Secretary. I hope that's okay.
If it's okay with her, it's okay with me. So let's start off with what that day is like. You work your regular day of work at the Labor Department, and then in the afternoon, do you have to go home and pick out a tie?
My kids and Karen, my wife and I, picked out the tie that morning, and it was a very a heated discussion. And as you know, my youngest child is a now competitive debater, and so he won. And so I went with the red tie, but I brought a change of clothes to the office, mostly because just because it's a really long day. You know, I get into the office at 8:30 in the morning, and the State of the Union begins at 9 p.m. at night, and I just didn't want to feel uncomfortable walking in to the State of the Union and sitting there listening to the speech. So I brought a change of clothes and had the red tie ready to go and worked that full day, and then off to the State of the Union.
Okay, so is there something that goes on beforehand? Do you get together with the other cabinet secretaries and do rock, paper, scissors to see who goes in first? What happens there?
Well, I actually have... Well, the order of the people who walk into the room, I believe, is in the order of succession. So Secretary Kerry, I believe, was first into the room because the State Department is the oldest of the departments, and that's the so that's how you determine the order of succession. So he led us into the room. But prior to going to the Capitol for the State of the Union, there was a dinner of all the cabinet secretaries, which I had never, I didn't know they did that, and I had never attended it before, and I can't tell you anything about it because it was completely off the record.
Okay.
But it was a thrill because I was sitting in a room with a bunch of people I really deeply respect and admire tremendously. Some of them have become friends just from my time in the administration, and it's just the president has selected a remarkable group of people to be in his cabinet, and they've accomplished a tremendous amount, and they've weathered some very, very difficult political fights. And so it was a tremendous honor to be at the table with him, and I shared with him how surprised I was to be able to participate. But then we raced over to the Capitol building in a cavalcade of oversized black SUVs with lights flashing and to get ready for the speech.
Already at that point, you're going, this is cool.
Oh, I've been saying that a lot longer than the day of the State of the Union. I have to say this, a remarkable opportunity, and really grateful to have the opportunity to serve in this position. And it's something, as you said, I never expected was going to happen. And I really enjoyed working with my boss, and was sorry to see her go. And tremendous opportunities have presented themselves because of it. And this was one of them. This was absolutely one of them.
I want to go back to this off-the-record thing for just a second, because people might be curious. You're in government. I'm a broadcaster. We're brothers. Are there times where you're telling me stuff and telling me, oh, don't talk about this on the air? I have to be honest, in all the years that you've been doing this, and it's been over 20 years now that you've been working at the federal level in important jobs, I don't think I've asked you all that much about your job, because I know that we have that line that we can't cross.
Right.
But every once in a while in a conversation, you will say to me, all right, now you can't talk about this. And I have to respect that, but it's always personal stuff. It's like when my wife says, all right, I have to tell you about something that happened at work. You can't tell anybody about this. You can't talk about it on your radio show. That's the level of our off-the-recordness, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so now the other thing I want to know about is, before you get to go to the Capitol as a member of the cabinet, I know that there is what's called the 13th man, which is a member of the cabinet who does not go to the Capitol for the State of the Union address, because the thinking is, if something disastrous were to happen, if some calamity were to be there, some terrorist attack that, you know, the Capitol blew up that night and all of these top people in government were gone, okay, well, who would be the leadership of this country? And so they always choose one member of the cabinet to do that. Obviously, since you got to go to the State of the Union, that wasn't you. Who was the unlucky person this year?
I believe that it was Energy Secretary Chu, who was not at the State of the Union. But here's the thing about whether I had a fear of being one of those people. If you step back a little bit and ask yourself, do we really want the acting Secretary of Labor to become the President of the United States? You pretty much know that you're not going to be picked. there was no chance that I was going to be picked to be the person to be out of the building. And so I really didn't. Honestly, I didn't have a fear. I was not sure, honestly, I was not sure that I was going to be invited to go. I mean, I had been told that they were going to ask that I be invited. But, you know, I got to say, when you're the acting secretary, you know you're not going to be in the job permanently. You don't want to step on anybody's toes. You don't want to be presumptuous. You absolutely don't want to embarrass the president in any way. You know, you're sort of just happy to be there. I'll be honest. It's kind of like being a nominee in one of the technical categories at the Academy Awards. You're just happy to be there. And so I'm just happy to be able to serve in this role. The idea that I would be able to go to the State of the Union was so out of my realm of possibility that I was really trying very hard to not look like I was expecting anything. And I was absolutely delighted when I was told that I would have the opportunity to go. It was, you know, just the thrill of a lifetime. And, you know, from my perspective, I have so much respect for President Obama. I'm such a tremendous admirer. I'm one of those hardcore Obama loyalists, as you well know. I was a supporter of his. I was actually advising his Senate campaign. It's not a Senate campaign, his Senate office back in 2006. I signed on to his campaign very early in 2007, worked very, very hard on his campaign. I've been in his administration from the very beginning, and just a great admirer. I think he's a historic, remarkable figure. But my view is you never get a better sense of that than when you're watching him speak. This is a guy who understands the importance of his historic role and is able to communicate that oratorically in a way that very, very few other people are able to do it. And you find yourself, the true power of oratory is to take you to a place that you didn't think you were going to get. And he's able to remind us of what is the best in our country without being Pollyannish. He's able to take us to a place where, you know, he really selling the view effectively that government can make a difference in people's lives, but it's not the solution to every problem in people's lives, that the middle class is the most important thing. It's the engine that drives our economy. It's the centerpiece of an agenda based on fairness. You know, he's so powerful in that way that the opportunity to get to see him do that in person was just, for me, a dream come true. The only other time I can remember feeling that way is I had the opportunity during the 2008 Democratic Convention. I was at his final speech at the stadium, and I was obviously nowhere near as close, but I got to see that speech, and that was the same kind of powerful, uplifting moment where you really got a sense of the promise of America. So it was just a privilege to have an opportunity to see both of those opportunities, and this most recent one especially.
All right, let's go back to the motorcade. You and the other members of the cabinet, you take the motorcade over to the Capitol. You get there, you get out, you go inside. You're waiting for the door person. It wasn't actually the sergeant-at-arms, but another person who introduced the various dignitaries who were there, including you and the other members of the cabinet. And then you walk into the well of Congress down that center aisle, and there are all these people on both sides of the aisle who are stopping people as they go by, who I assume all of those people, are they members of Congress and the Senate?
They're all members of either the House or the Senate. They're mostly members of the House. For me, it was really exciting. Let me just say, in order to be one of the members who is on that center aisle, they have to get there really early in the day.
You're kidding.
They have to physically occupy the space because, you know, a lot of people really want that space. So there are people who are there for hours and hours and hours holding their space so that they can shake hands with people as they come in the room. For me, it was really, that was a great additional treat because I didn't really know who was going to be along the aisle. So it was very exciting. One of the first faces I saw was the congressman who represented the district that we used to live in New Jersey, Congressman Bill Pascrell, who has been a great friend and a great supporter. And so he grabs me and gives me a big hug as I'm going down the aisle. And then a couple of congressmen I had been on the phone with earlier in the week were there, and I'm shaking hands with them. And I saw a congresswoman I knew 30 years ago in Houston when she was a local judge, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, and she gave me a big hello. It was just, it was a thrill. And let me just say, the electricity in the room, maybe it was I was the only one who was feeling it because I was a newbie, but the electricity in the room is really remarkable. The television lights are extremely bright. You know, people are very excited. It's a real spectacle, and they know that they've got an important role to play in it. And so honestly, there were members of Congress I had never met. I'm quite confident I had never even been in a room with, who were greeting me like I was a long-lost brother.
Wow.
Now, that's fine, and I was happy to see them, and it's that kind of positive, affirmative spirit. But, yeah, it was very, very exciting walking down that aisle. Now, I was at the back of the line. You know, Secretary Kerry went first, but I was at the back of the line because I'm in acting, and let's be honest, I'm just nowhere near as important as the people who've been confirmed. So I was way at the back. So by the time I got in there, the line was moving pretty slowly because everybody is shaking hands with the people that they know best, Secretary Kerry,
yeah.
Secretary Panetta, Secretary Sebelius, the real, you know, the people who are best known in the cabinet. You know, me, I'm surprised that anybody even bothered to say hi. But it was terrific for me and really very, very exciting.
Well, you know, what was cool was I recorded this thing on C-SPAN so that I could watch it. And when your head popped up there, I did for a moment think he's having his Zelig moment. All of a sudden, he's in the middle of this really important gathering here. So, all right, let's proceed now. You walk through this gauntlet of...
Before you get off the gauntlet, can I just say one other thing about it? So here's the surprising thing that never occurred to me, and that I don't know if it ever occurred to you. You and I are about the same height. You're a little bit taller than I am. And as you know, no one would ever describe me as slight or svelte.
No.
I'm a fairly large man.
Yes.
And it never occurred to me that in that setting that I would tower over
yeah.
a lot of the other people in the room. And as a result of that, the television cameras got a pretty good look at me.
Yes, they did.
They just happened to, you know, and it certainly, you know, I certainly didn't bribe Chuck Todd or anything like that. It just is a consequence of the fact that I'm a head taller than some of the people who were in that line.
With the bright red tie your son chose for you.
Exactly. Brilliant choice by my 11-year-old. As a consequence of that, my Facebook account and my Twitter account and my email and my texts went berserk because people, they saw me as I was walking in the room and they immediately wrote or texted or posted something on Facebook. But then, like, I was on camera for a while. I'm told, I haven't seen it yet. I actually haven't watched it yet. I know you have. But... And so people kept texting me, and it sort of got to be a little bit crazy. I got these huge numbers of Facebook posts and texts. And so when I didn't have my phones with me, I didn't want to take anything in the room. God forbid my cell phone goes off while the President of the United States is giving a State of the Union address.
Yeah.
So I left it behind. When I got back in the car, I had this huge backlog of messages from folks saying, I saw you. And people were posting screenshots and pictures of their televisions. And it was, wow, it was really, really something. So it was nice. I feel like a lot of my friends got an opportunity to see me. I feel perhaps America got a little bit too much of Seth Harris on the screen that night.
Well, I'll tell you, the image, well, you and I have talked about this before in other photos with you and other officials. It's like, that guy is either somebody or a Secret Service agent because of the size. So, all right, now that you get through the gauntlet and you go over to your seat, which is to the president's left,
right.
Also to the left of Speaker Boehner and Vice President Biden, and you sit down there, and then, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, and he comes in, and there's the ovation, the double ovation, because then he gets reintroduced, and he launches into his speech. Now, the thing that anybody who's even a casual viewer of the State of the Union address knows is... You're going to do applause breaks, and you're going to stand up repeated times. Here's my question to you. Who did you watch to know when it was appropriate to jump to your feet?
Well, The first thing I did when I sat down was I leaned over the person sitting next to me. I'm not going to tell you who that was because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Let's just say I leaned over to somebody sitting in my area without picking anybody out. And I said, I just want you to know I'm following you on when to stand up. Because, you know, it turns out it's kind of a complicated little thing, you know, and, you know, different people are going to stand up for different things. And so there's this little subtle thing that at least I was doing. I won't speak for anybody else. I'm trying to look out of the corner of my eye and keep an eye on when the rest of the – I figured I'll follow the cabinet.
Yeah.
Because I'm the junior guy. I'm the least important guy here. I will follow what the rest of my cabinet colleagues do. So the president would say something. Some members of the House might start to stand up. A lot of the senators were behind me, so I couldn't see all of them as well. And then I would look over out of the corner of my eye. Okay, Tom Vilsack is standing up. I'm standing up. And then he would look over, and there's Kathleen Sebelius. Okay, standing up. And then, okay, John Kerry is on the street. I better get up. So I was following the other folks in the cabinet. I don't know that there's a right answer. And also, the problem is if you look a little too far to your left, it's the Supreme Court. They never stand up.
Right. I'm going to watch Sonia Sotomayor. She's a rookie, too. But they're not allowed to stand up.
They're not allowed to stand up. The decorum suggests they. So I'm trying to follow the people who I think are sort of, the best people to lead me through this little exercise.
Yeah. All right. So then the president gives his speech. And, you know, to some, it's a rousing success. To others on the other side of the aisle, it's not been a rousing success. But whatever it is, he finishes and then he comes down after he says thank you. You know, all the television commentators go into analysis mode. But the cameras, especially the C-SPAN cameras, stay on him. And he walks over and it looks like he's coming directly over to you, Seth. And then he stands right next to you. And, I don't know if he chatted directly with you or with the other cabinet members. But you're now getting, again, more screen time. What's going through your mind at that point?
Right. He came down to his left, as he, I think, typically does, and he shakes hands with absolutely everybody. This is, let me just say, another of the things I really admire about the president. And I wouldn't say I've been in a lot of meetings with him, but I've been in a few meetings with him, and he starts every meeting by going around the room and shaking hands with every single person in the room. I really admire that. He makes you feel welcome. He wants you to know you're a participant. He thinks that you're important. A lot of people have seen that famous picture of the president doing a fist bump with a janitor in the Capitol building. That really captures who the guy is. He really likes and respects people and knows that kind of gesture really matters to folks. So he gives everybody a handshake, a hug, a kiss, something like that. So he walks down and he shakes hands with everybody, and then he comes along the line, walked along the line that I was sitting in, and I was fairly close to the front of the room. I was sort of even with him when he was giving his speech, and he's shaking hands with the people to my right. Just before he got to me, he sees a bunch of members of the Senate, his former colleagues, who were sitting and standing behind me, including some people with whom he has very close relationships. Senator Tom Coburn was there, and Senator Bob Casey is there, and others with whom he has good relationships, and even those that he didn't know maybe as well. He's still warmly greeting everybody because that's what he does. But he happened to do that standing directly in front of me.
Yeah.
Now, that, again, it's just the serendipity of where I'm sitting. This is not Barack Obama is, you know, Seth Harris's best buddy. You know, he just happened to stand there because that's where the senators he wanted to talk to were. So I'm standing right next to the President of the United States as he's shaking hands with the members of the Senate. And as you can probably see, for those of you who saw the pictures, I had a gigantic grin on my face because, after all, there's the President of the United States, a man I admire tremendously, who just gave a fantastic speech about, you know, expanding the middle class, growing America's economy from the middle out, raising the minimum wage, bringing manufacturing jobs back to St. Louis and to the rest of America. I mean, a tremendous, terrific speech on issues that are right at the core of the Labor Department's mission that I care about a great deal. And so I'm glowing with pride and just in what he did. And there he is standing in front of me, not for a short period of time. And then as he stood up from shaking hands with everybody, he gave me a nice warm handshake and a big pat on the shoulder. And I'll tell you, I'm going to lunch on that for the rest of my life.
I was going to ask you, did he give you, hey, how you doing? You know, one of those like, all right, I've said hello to my friends here. Oh, yeah, hi, how are you? But it wasn't. It was actually the handshake and the hand on the shoulder, huh?
It was. And I'm not going to tell you what he said. He's a very, very generous man, and I was just grateful to be there with him.
All right. Now the president leaves, and you get to leave, and there's that, I'm sure, euphoria for, you know, for a lot of the people in the room, there's that euphoria. And then do you still have official responsibilities you have to do afterwards? Is there a spin room that they send you to?
No, I'm not a television talking head. I'm the kind of guy who, after an event like that, gets to go home and tell his wife all about it.
Uh-huh.
And so I came back and I reported in great detail to my wife, who was very patient and helped me to calm down from the excitement. And that was the evening for me.
Well, I got to tell you, all of us who saw it were, you know, who know you, were impressed, as your Twitter and Facebook feeds and your voicemail proved. But it wasn't a remarkable moment for you, but I also for me, because I've known you through this whole process, and I know how big it was for you, and it just reinforced for me how proud I am of my little brother, who is standing there literally next to the President of the United States of the State of the Union address. Pretty damn cool.
Well, thanks a lot. And you know, for me and for people like me who are in politics and in government because we really think that government and politics can make a difference in people's lives, watching an event like this where a man you admire tremendously, a great president, is laying out an agenda that is going to, I think, move the country forward in a very important way, and is garnering the support of the people in the room, and there was cheering and chanting and tremendous enthusiasm for a great deal of what was in his speech, and rallying people at home to things that they know they want and that they really care about, and laid out a vision of an America that resonated with the American people. You know, to me, it's hard to imagine a more exciting event, and it was really a privilege, and the kind of thing I'm going to be, for all the tough nights, for all the bureaucratic struggles, for all the challenges that you face working in government, just the opportunity to sit there and see him do that was worth every minute of the 12 years I've invested in the Labor Department and in trying to help make working people's lives a little bit better.
Well, congratulations again. And I know you got a very busy schedule here. You're actually on the road now promoting some of these ideas for the Labor Department and for President Obama. So I really appreciate you taking time to join me here, Seth. Thank you
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
That is my brother, Seth Harris, who is the acting Secretary of Labor of the United States. Pretty cool to see him on TV, and pretty cool, obviously, for him to have that experience. And by the way, when he talks about going home and getting debriefed by his wife,
yes,
you know, he also had to do the same thing for me,
oh, yeah.
and for mom,
oh, yeah.
and the whole thing. Because, you know, anytime you have that kind of experience, somebody wants to hear the whole story, and he's had to tell it over and over and over again. So I really appreciate him coming here and joining us here this afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, we're going to get a check on traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
So I got a question for you, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Do you notice how you can tell that Paul and his brother were raised by the same family? Do they not sound alike? I mean, their voice tone doesn't sound alike, but their diction, their inflection, everything. Doesn't it sound like? I mean, sounds like they're brothers, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's for,
like, come on.
Except you can tell who's the smart one and who's the guy in radio.
Well, come on. I know brothers. One sounds like a Hoosier and the other one sounds educated. You know, you guys both sound very educated and very brought up properly.
Oh, thank you. Talking about my brother? And
I think he was talking about you.
Yeah.
In a minute.
Yeah, right.
Nice, Tim. Very, very nice.
Hey, this traffic report is brought to you by Mattress Firm. It's Mattress Firm's President Sale. Through Monday, Serta Memory Foam Queen mattresses are just $599, including free box springs and two free pillows, only at Mattress Firm. Well, we just got slow traffic now on southbound 270 from 64 down through Big Bend. Northbound 55 in that right lane is heavy. Just a little bit north of 44 up through the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 64 heavy now. Science Center through McCausland, 270 through Mason. You might find it a little bit slow from the Spirit Overpass to the Boone Bridge. Also, you're stacked up solid now on westbound 70 from 270 to the Blanchette Bridge. And this report's also brought to you by Chevrolet. It's Chevy Truck Month right now. Get amazing pricing on brand new 2013 Chevy Silverado, Suburban, Tahoe, or Traverse. It's happening now at your local Chevy dealer. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Back in 1922, Warren G. Harding was president. The St. Louis Browns played baseball, and 5:50 a.m. went on the air. And the reaction was...
Sounds lovely, but we cannot see the person speaking.
And now, 91 years later, you can see the person speaking on KTRS-TV. Between 6 and 10 a.m. weekday mornings, go to KTRS.com, click play on the homepage, and watch McGraw in the Morning on High Def TV. Yes, with four HD cameras, you'll get all sides of traffic, weather, guest callers, news, and sports live as it happens. It's TV on the radio at KTRS.com, powered by Taliesin Technologies.
The Bible says the borrower is slave to the lender. In other words, when you owe people money, they own you. So are you tired of being a slave to your mortgage and all your other debts? Just think, a typical monthly mortgage payment is 90% or more interest, and the banks get it all. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. I've shown over 2 million people how to eliminate their debts, including their mortgage, credit card debts, car payments, and student loans. And now I want to show you. So let me rush you a free copy of the Debt-Free Bible. Just call 1-800-600-9841. You'll discover powerful debt-eliminating secrets that will help you break free from being a slave to your debts. The truth is, you can get out of debt, no matter how much money you owe or how much money you make. For a free copy of the Debt-Free Bible, call now while a limited number of copies are still available. Call 1-800-600-9841. For your Debt-Free Bible, call 1-800-600-9841.
Hey, it's Friday.
So what?
Well, tomorrow we're on the air again.
Again?
Every Saturday.
When?
Unless we're not here.
No, we're here.
This Saturday on the Inside Out
this
Show.
This Saturday, we're here.
When you call in, you get information about either growing something, killing something, fixing something, or building something.
What time do I have to show up?
11 o'clock to 1 o'clock every Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
All the information you'll need to do stuff around the house. That's the Inside Out Show.
I'm Jim.
I'm John. We'll see you then on the Big 550 KTRS.
The Big 550 is your home for everything Mizzou. Tune in this Monday night from 6 to 9 for Mizzou Monday. Live from Friendly Sports Bar and Grill in South City with John Hadley and Jim Huer. We'll recap the last game, preview the next game, and for everyone at Friendly Sports Bar and Grill, we'll have more fun off the air. Mizzou Mondays live from Friendly Sports Bar and Grill in South City. Brought to you by Four Roses Bourbon, the whiskey distiller of the year three of the last 4 years. Kentucky's finest straight bourbon whiskey, and the Big 550 KTRS. We are Mizzou. This is KTRS St. Louis, the Big 550, and KTRS.com.